The third reading of Parshas Baalischa takes us to Pesach, the only Pesach that our ancestors ever observed in the desert, at least properly. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, God speaks to Moshe. Here we open the ninth chapter of the book of Numbers. Bamidbar Sinai, in the Sinai desert, Bashona Hashenis, in the second year, Vatzeisom Me'eretz Mitzrayim, from their exodus from the land of Egypt, Bachedesh Arishon, in the first month, Lamer. So God is now speaking to the Jewish people after the first year has elapsed. And the next pasuk says, Vayasu v'nei Yisrael es ha-posach b'moyade. The Jewish people made the Pesach offering in its rightful time. So an interesting question that immediately comes to mind is, here we have this business of a Korban Pesach, which was made immediately and upon the first anniversary of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but the book starts off after this, in the month of Iyar. So it's not an order. Like, why do we wake up now with this? So Ramban's solution is that this book, this Sefer Bamidbar, mentions the mitzvahs that were given to us in the Midbar for the time alone, not for posterity. And actually, I'll direct your attention to what we talked about yesterday, the mitzvah of the Levites retiring at age 50, according to Ramban, was only something that applied in the desert. It did not apply for posterity. Ramban argues, no, this applies always. Ramban argues, this is only mitzvahs that applied in the desert, temporary mitzvahs. And so, Ramban says, since that's what this book is about, that's the mitzvahs of this book, the first thing the Torah wants to do is complete the story of the Mishkan and how the Mishkan was arranged. And then to speak about how the nation camped on the Mishkan with the degolim, with the banners and the flags, and how the Levium, the Levites, had a job of camping around the Mishkan in order to preserve the integrity of its precincts. And then we hear about the offerings of the princes. And only after that can we start to detail the mitzvahs which were performed uniquely in the Midbar, in the desert. But Rashi has a very different approach, as we're soon going to see. Before we go to Rashi's approach, the Jewish people went ahead and did the Pesach in its proper time. So it doesn't say, Dabar al Bnei Yisrael. God speaks, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe. God speaks to Moses. And what is usually the next verse? God speaks to Moses and he says, Dabar al Bnei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel. It doesn't say that over here. Here it simply says, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, God speaks to Moses. And then it says, Vayasu Bnei Yisrael es ha-posach. When did they get the message? If God spoke to Moshe, then Moshe should have spoken to the Jewish people. So he gets the command from God, relays the command on to the Jewish people. The Jewish people in turn follow through with action. Here it just says they did it. Why doesn't it say, Dabar al Bnei Yisrael? So the Tzedek LaDerech, who has a commentary on Rashi, he says that's because when we have something fresh or new, in the words of the Tzedek, kishemischadesh davar, when something fresh is being conveyed to us, something we didn't know before, okay, so then you have to have Dabar al Bnei Yisrael tell the children of Israel, they never heard about this before. This is a new event. This is a new kind of revelation. From now on, here's a new mitzvah. And then Moshe Rabbeinu calls them together and says, from now on, I have another mitzvah. But here it was not a new mitzvah. This is a very old mitzvah. There's nothing, in fact, there's nothing new about this. In his words, he says, Mazker Lahem, he is simply reminding them. It's a reminder. Remember that business of the Korban Pesach we talked about last year? We're here again. Now is the anniversary. So when it's a reminder, we don't need a Dabar al Bnei Yisrael. A formal speech to the Jewish people is when something new is being conveyed. But here, nothing new is being conveyed. The Chizkuni says, he asks a different question. He says, didn't we not do the Korban Pesach afterwards? And the answer is, yeah, we didn't. We'll talk about this in Rashi. So what was the reason? Why didn't we do a Korban Pesach? In other words, if we waited for a special command, and we got the special command in the first year, okay, I understand. But according to the Tzedek LaDerech, that he's only maskir, he's only bringing to mind the previous command. So then there's no unique and special command that says, now, bring a Korban Pesach. So if there's no unique and special command that says now bring a Korban Pesach, why didn't we just go ahead and bring a Korban Pesach? And the answer is that the Jewish people stopped the mitzvah of Bris Milah. And the reason they stopped the mitzvah of Bris Milah is because they never knew when they would travel. Any day they could travel again. And it is written that to bring a baby into a Bris Milah and then to travel is dangerous. It's danger. Because it's a danger, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, if you remember, didn't circumcise his son Eliezer until they broke camp right outside of Egypt. Because he came home and Zipporah said, Mazel Tov, we have a baby. Moshe said, uh-oh, I have a command. We have a baby, we have a command. The command is go to Mitzrayim right now. The mitzvah is give a Bris Milah to the baby. Moshe understood, if he gives a Bris Milah to the baby, he has to delay the divine command. But you got to go. So he packed up the baby and Zipporah, and then they had set off for Mitzrayim. And then they broke camp, and then Moshe Rabbeinu prepared everything, and the Malach came to strike him down, because first he was worried about making themselves comfortable. And only afterwards was he planning to take the Bris Milah. He needed a nap first. So that got him into trouble. But principally, he did the right thing. He needed to leave the Mitzrayim immediately, and you can't first do a Bris Milah and then travel. So the Jewish people never knew when the cloud lifts. They could have stayed at one place for 38 years. They could have stayed at one place for 6 hours. And because they never knew, how could they have a Bris Milah? Put the baby's life in danger. So the Chizkuni says that was true after the first year. But the first year, they camped and they stayed at one place. They were at Mount Sinai. And they stayed at Mount Sinai all the way until the 20th day of year. And because of that, they didn't know that there was going to be this quick travel and the business of trumpets, and at a given moment, literally at the drop of a banner or a handkerchief, they're off. They didn't know that. So as such, nobody ever thought twice. Here we are, settled, to Bris Milah. Only later when they realized that they would start to travel without any prior knowledge, and it could happen in a moment, in a blink of an eye, only that's when they stopped doing a Bris Milah. And so the Chizkuni says, up until this point, they were doing the Bris Milah, and it came time for Korban Pesach. They brought a Korban Pesach. By next year, it was a whole other story. Already. By next year, we had thousands of babies who didn't have a Bris Milah, and that continued the whole 40 years in the desert, or the whole 39 years, I should say. And that's why Yehoshua, the successor of Moshe Rabbeinu, when he brings the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael, what's their first act of religious devotion? Just like when they left Mitzrayim, the Bris Milah, and then the Korban Pesach. So that's how we understand the business of Vayasu Bnei Yisrael as HaPasach. There was no need for a special command here. It was self-understood that they should do a Korban Pesach, but subsequent this wasn't possible. Now, if so, we understand also why we didn't get a special command. Why do we need altogether Vaydaber Hashem El Moshe? If you're going to tell me that it was simply self-understood, there should be a Korban Pesach, so why does it say Vaydaber Hashem El Moshe Rabbeinu Bar Sinai? And then he says Vayasu Bnei Yisrael as HaPasach. Jewish people should make a Pesach. It's true, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't say immediately Daber El Bnei Yisrael, but it's still God's giving a command. Vayasu, they should make a Korban Pesach. So the Sefarno says, this is for a very simple reason. We know that later on in history, when Shlomo HaMelech dedicated the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash, they did not fast on Yom Kippur. They didn't fast Yom Kippur. Why? Because the first Beis HaMikdash and its joy eclipsed even the day of Yom Kippur. So the thought was maybe we just got a new Mishkan. Spanking, shiny, brand new Mishkan. 12 days of special offerings. The Jewish people thought, oh, maybe this year the Mishkan is a big enough event. Maybe the Mishkan eclipses the need for Korban Pesach. So God speaks to Moshe. It doesn't say tell them, but he says, V'yasu bnei Yisrael. They should make a Korban Pesach, despite this all. The Eir HaChaim says that we know a mumar, a person who worshipped a foreign deity, is not permitted to bring Korban Pesach, because he turned his back on Hashem. And even though the Jewish people knew they were forgiven, they thought deep down in their heart of hearts, maybe we still can bring a Korban Pesach. Maybe we're still a mumar. Maybe we still brought a golden calf. And because we made a golden calf, maybe Korban Pesach is something we can't do anymore. Because Moshe Rabbeinu told him the laws last year. It says, if you turn your back on God, you embrace a foreign deity, that's it, you're done. So precisely because of this, there is this business of a Yasu Bnei Yisrael. But there's no emphasis on Daber Bnei Yisrael at the same time, because it's an old mitzvah. When did all of this happen? Barba, so yim, in the 14th day, b'chodesh of the month, hazeh, bein harbayim, this is when you should make the korban pesach in the afternoon, ta'asa oisei, b'moyadeh, and it's a proper time, k'chol chukosav, as per all of its statutes, u'k'chol mishpatav, as per all of its ordinances, ta'asa oisei, you should make it. What is a chok? We already know from Rashi. Rashi doesn't have to reiterate here. Rashi already told us about previously, the last time we talked about a korban pesach, that a chok is a mitzvah which we don't understand. Understand? Chukah chokakti, gzir gadarti, God said made a statute. That's the way it is. You just do what I tell you. Now, it's interesting that another svarim, like there's a sefer called Redifei Maya, he says like this. The word chok is connected to the concept of a border, of a boundary. And he says that there is a limit to human intelligence. No matter how smart you are, there's a limit to how much you can understand. There is no limit to faith in Hashem. Faith in Hashem is boundless. Mesiras nefesh, devotion, artless dedication, boundless. Our intelligence, limited. So that's the idea of chok. Chok is, this is past that border. There's a border. There's a limit. But I don't understand this. Let me work on it and figure it out. Don't bother. This one is past what we, the human beings, could understand. And who says we're supposed to understand everything? Some things we're just supposed to accept. Years ago, I visited a Shiva house, and a woman told me that I'm going to understand this. I'm very angry at God now, but I'm going to work it through, and I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to know why God did this to me. And then when I know what God did this to me, then I'm going to be okay again with my Yiddishkeit. I said to her, with all due respect, who told you have to understand? Who said? There's a part of Yiddishkeit that asks us to muster our faith, asks us to pull together all of our devotion to God, not our intelligence. I said, I don't know that you have to be God's lawyer. I just have to defend him. And then you have to believe in him. And you have to do the right thing anyway, even if you don't understand. The chok reminds us that there's an element of Yiddishkeit that is simply beyond our ability to fathom or grasp or understand in an intellectual sense. And once you pass that border, you pass the border. No turning back. So it says, La'asayses ha-pasach. And the word La'asayses ha-pasach is written without a vav. It's written with the so to speak, the missing spelling. And the Baal HaTurim says, because there's something missing about this doing. What was missing? What was missing is that it was once in the Midbar. The only time they did a Korban Pesach was this. Subsequent, 39 years, no Korban Pesach. The next Korban Pesach would only be brought when the whole generation had died out and a new generation would come into the land of Eretz Yisrael. Which this leads us directly into Rashi's comment. Rashi says now, B'chedesh HaRishayin, which month is this? This is the month of Nisan, of course. Parsha Shebereish HaSefer. The parsha, the opening verses of this particular book, Lo'inemru ad Iyar, they don't show up until the month of Iyar. And we know that because it says, Vaydaber Hashem Omeisha, Be'echad l'chodesh Hasheni, on the first of the second month. But here we are now in the first month. So this is confusing. 9 chapters ago, we're in Iyar. Here we're 9 chapters later, and we're in Nisan again. L'madata, this teaches you, She'ein seder muktim u'mu'ukhar b'teira. There is no chronological order in the Torah. It doesn't say there's no order in the Torah. There is a lot of order in the Torah. Everything is in order in the Torah, but it's not necessarily a chronological order. Meaning, the order doesn't follow the historical events or the timeline as to when things unfolded. What is the order of Torah connected to? It's connected to the idea of mitzvahs. Certain things, in order to convey important messages, have to be said first, second, or third. Or maybe another reason. And here Rashi says, okay, v'lama loy pasach bezu. Why did the book not then open on the first day of Nisan? Why does it open a month later? And then only in chapter 9, going back a month earlier. So Rashi says, the reason the Torah didn't open with the first story, the story of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, instead opens with the story of Rosh Chodesh Iyar, is because Shebepnei Shehi Gnusan Shal Yisrael, because this highlights the failings of the Jewish people. This speaks of us in a non-complimentary fashion. Shekol Arboim Shana, Shehayu Yisrael Bamidbar, all 40 years that we were in the desert, all 4 decades, La yikrivu ela pesach zeh bavad. They brought one carbon pesach. It's an annual mitzvah, but they brought just one, this one. And because that's the case, so it's not exactly a compliment for us. Hashem doesn't want to open the book by highlighting our failings. So instead, he tucks it into the ninth chapter.
So we should have done the bris.
We should have done the bris. Doesn't say that.
Well, it's kind of connected.
Hold this fire. Hold your, it's a good question. It's a good question. You're asking a very good question. Did we not have a good reason not to do the bris? We did. So what's the gnus in Shal Yisrael? The Mayadai, in its proper time, Rashi says, when is its proper time? Its proper time is on the 14th day of Iyar in the afternoon. And what if it turns out to be Shabbat? Do you bring a private offering on Shabbat? You only bring a public offering on Shabbat. Rashi says, Af b'Shabbos. B'mayadai, Af b'Tumah. In its proper time, if all the Jewish people are ritually impure, even though this is a mitzvah you can't do when you're ritually impure, if everybody's ritually impure, then the carbon Pesach is brought in a state of ritual impurity. So it's got to be done. There's got to be a carbon Pesach in its right time. And this has to be done, k'chol chukaisav, according to all the statutes, and so on and so forth. So we're going to go straight to your question, Mark. It's a good question. So what should the Jewish people have done? The Rebbe asked this question. In page Kuf Mem, when the 16th entry of the, in the Biurei HaChumash, the Rebbe quotes this Rashi, why does the book not open with the story of the first day of Nisan? Now, I want to point out, incidentally, many of the things we've learned also took place on the first day of Nisan. I even share that with you. But it doesn't say it explicitly. Medrash tells us. Rashi tells us. It doesn't say it. Here it says it. Here it says it. The verbiage of the Torah is exactly such. On the 14th day of this month, that's when you should do it. And it starts out before, it was the second year, b'chodesh harishon. So it says it. Says it in the scripture, says it openly. So if you're openly emphasizing Nisan, why don't you start that way? And what was Rashi's answer? It's Lamalei Pasach Bazu, Mipnei Shehi Gnusan Shal Yisrael, because this highlights our failing. This speaks in a non-complimentary fashion about us. And we don't want to do that. Torah doesn't want to broadcast our failings. Look at my children, they're such lepers. They failed. They didn't do what Hashem wanted. And you're saying, what do you mean? They did exactly what Hashem wanted. They were supposed to follow the halacha. They never bris milah. So the Rebbe says, Yesh l'tmaya. It gets even stranger. My gnus and shal Yisrael. What is the gnus? What is the failing? What is the inappropriateness of the Jewish people? The kach shalei krivos korban ha-pesach b'midbar, that they didn't bring a korban pesach in the midbar. Harei mefurish b'divrei Rashi b'parshas bo'i. Rashi himself clearly states in Parshas Bo, Shekach tziva isim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that this is how God commanded them. Because Tola HaKosov mitzvah zu bibiyosam la'aretz. In Rashi's words, this mitzvah hinges upon entrance into the land of Israel. It says, Bevoyachem, when you come to the land of Israel. And therefore, they didn't have the obligation to bring a Korban Pesach. Forget the business of Bris Milah. They didn't have an obligation. L'shitas Rashi, he says already in Parshas Boi, that this is about Israel. So in the Midbar, it's not even a question. It's not even a question. Why doesn't it say Daber? Because it's an old mitzvah. They know the mitzvah. It's not a new mitzvah. But the idea that the mitzvah should be done here, in the desert, in the Midbar, that is novel. And Hashem only commanded it once. So because the Pasuk says it's an Eretz Yisrael mitzvah, we were already supposed to be in Israel. If it wouldn't make us a dumb golden calf, it would have been in Israel already. But we did make a dumb golden calf. And now we're still in the desert. So if we're still in the desert, God comes along and he says, bring a Korban Pesach. Had we not been in the desert, we would have been in Israel. We would bring a Korban Pesach, no question about it. We were in the desert, we needed a command. So what's the Gnus in Shal Yisrael? God actually only commanded us once. Why did he not command us? Well, it was pointless. We didn't have a bris milah. But that's neither here nor there. That's God's business why he didn't command us. We didn't get a command. We only got a command this one time. So what's the gnus shel Yisrael? You only told them this time to bring a Korban Pesach. They brought the Korban Pesach. You never told them to bring it again. So what's the failing? If you want to say Gnus and Shal Yisrael, that they stayed in the Midbar for 40 years, that they refused to go into Eretz Yisrael, we got a whole parsha about that. A whole Torah portion that speaks about the scouts that were sent, the bad report they came home with. There's no secrets over there. This is the issue. The lack of the Korban Pesach, that's what had to be tucked into the folds of the third portion of the fourth book of the Torah, because it's Gnusin Shal Yisrael. Well, it's not Gnusin. It's a matter of fact. They got a commandment once, they did what Hashem said when they got the commandment. They didn't get the commandment otherwise, they didn't do anything. Simple. Va'abir v'zeh. So listen to this wonderful explanation. Do you know what Gnusin Shal Yisrael is? You know what our failing was? Our failing was acquiescence. We accepted it. The sin of silence. God came along and said, no more Korban Pesach. We said, okay. And God waited for us to say, what do you mean a Korban Pesach? We want a Korban Pesach. I said, nah, it's okay. Whatever you want, God. We didn't say anything. So the problem was, Shem Kiblu Bahashlom Esakviya. They simply accepted this idea. No Korban Pesach accepted it. Shelo la'akriv Korban Pesach b'meshach kol shleisha v'teisha shneis shehusam b'midbar. They got a commandment once. They never got a commandment again. The next year Pesach came around. Zip. Silence, nothing. Whatever God wants. Whatever God wants. It was something you really cared about. You'd open your mouth. You'd yell, scream, beg, cajole. Why all of a sudden here you became silent? Here all of a sudden acquiescence became your moxie. The Jewish people acquiesced otherwise. They kvetched and complained every step of the way. No Korban Pesach, no complaining. It's finally a time you're supposed to complain. Why don't you complain? Why didn't they say, Ribbono Shel Olam, Lama Nigara? Why are we being barred? Why are we being left behind? And is there any ever a time when we kvetched and actually got something as a result of our kvetching? Did we ever get something good from kvetching? Yes, in this very reading. Pesach Sheni is right in the second half of this reading. And why did the second Pesach come? Because people kvetched. Good kvetching. They said, Lama Nigara. And Geshem, Shashu, Batzlacha, Anashim, Shayat, Me'el, Nefesh, Adam, the people who are ritually impure, they raised a hue and a cry, they were not silent, they did not acquiesce. And Hashem says, you really care about this? Is that important to you? In that case, here's another chance. Here's a Korban Pesach. Hare advarim kal v'chemer. The Rebbe says, think about this. It's so self-evident. Im yechidim sheponu el HaKadosh Baruch Hu bebakash haslam anigara. If individuals, it's a collection of individuals, and they made this big complaint, they raised a hue and a cry, and they said, it's not fair, we're being left out. And zachu l'kach, as a result of their raising their voices, they merited shenensa bakashasam, that their request was granted. V'nitnu lahem, and they were given the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni. Alachas kama v'kama, how much more so? She'im klal Yisrael hayim evakshim, if the Jewish people would have said, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, what do you mean? No Korban Pesach? How could you have no Korban Pesach? If they would cry out and they would demand, for sure, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be ma'al de bakasha. If the nation would say, we refuse to accept this, it's not okay, God would say, okay. You really want a Korban Pesach? Well, give us a chance to bring. But we were quiet. Acquiescence.
After the golden calf.
The fact that we didn't do this, the fact that we simply accepted the will of God, we acquiesced, whatever you say, God. Kiblu zeis bashlama, they made peace. They made peace with no Korban Pesach. Yesh ba mishum gnus. That is a failing, that's a deficiency, and that's a sin of silence. V'lachein, and that's why, in ha-sefer Pesach b'parsha zu. What a powerful lesson. Never sit silent.
Kvetch.
For good things, for good things, for good. Kvetch for good things.
The wives are right.
The vibes.